From the number one college town in the Big 12. Big 12. We're back with the Purple Project Podcast with Eddie Greer.
The Purple Project Podcast is on. Going behind the scenes of Kansas State athletics, from the action on the gridiron to the octagon of doom, and much more. Plus, making rounds about the happenings in the community. Triple P is loud and proud and ready to take charge in the Big 12 Conference. Podcasting to the Little Apple, Kansas City, and the world. It's the Purple Project Podcast. And now, here's your host, Eddie Greer III.
Kansas State Nation, what's going on? Literally, recording this after K-State missed opportunity late against Marquette. This is the Purple Project Podcast Weekly Edition, episode 74. Eddie Greer here in Manhattan, Kansas. This podcast is all about the latest and what's going on in the world of Kansas State athletics here on the campus of K-State University. Obviously, golf, football, basketball is going on right now. Football getting their opponent in their bowl game. A familiar bowl destination, familiar place, different opponent. More on that on the end of this podcast here on this episode 74, recording on this Wednesday, late Wednesday, literally after K-State dropped a loss to Marquette following a big-time victory on the road at Wichita State. We'll get into that momentarily as well. Obviously, you can find the Purple Project Podcast wherever you listen to your podcast, whether that's Spotify, Apple Podcast, Amazon, Audioboom, and more. The Purple Project Podcast heading into the end of the 2021 calendar year, and not to mess around any more longer here, folks. Signing me on my coast, as usually, for the weekly edition of this podcast. None other than Alex Aiden out there in San Diego, California. Alex, what's happening?
Well, Eddie and I just got done watching the same game. Literally, for people who are listening to this, the game ended, the K-State Marquette game ended probably 10 minutes before, 10 minutes ago for us. So, pretty fresh in our minds right now. But doing good, Eddie. Doing good. You know, obviously, we just saw the heartbreaking loss for K-State to Marquette in the game that, you know, we'll obviously get into here in a minute. I want to tip my cap to, you know, K-State. Thought they played hard in that game, but they made a lot of mistakes. And it lost them the game. I think I saw about 3-4 missed layups in that game. Too many turnovers. And what was bugging me, Eddie, is this is a good defensive team. This is a good defensive K-State team. And I don't go too far down this kind of rabbit hole right now. But defensively, I was not liking what I was seeing from K-State. I felt like they were fortunate to lose by one because Marquette missed a lot of open looks. K-State just was not rotating quick enough on defense. And Marquette, they swing the ball as good as anyone. I mean, they pass the ball around the perimeter great, but K-State just couldn't move fast enough and couldn't rotate quick enough. And then we're having a breakdown from the back end of the defense. And so, you know, I think that really kind of really hurt them too. And like I said, we'll get into that a little bit. They obviously had a huge win against Wichita State over on Sunday, which was a great win for them, though. Don't want to take away from that. And then obviously they do all this without Nigel Pack. You know, you're missing your best player. I think it's safe to say if you have Nigel, you win both.
You win this game, yep.
So, you know, that's kind of a kick in the kahunas. But, as I was telling you before we got on the call, I think it could be a blessing in disguise because I think that no Nigel Pack really gave guys like Marquise Noel and Mark Smith they could, you know, go in there, get some minutes, and especially Marquise Noel. I thought that he really benefited from it, playing some big-time minutes, having two really big games. I feel like those – and Massoud had a good game tonight. You know, I think that those transfers – maybe you get more comfortable and you can see it. And I almost felt like high profile games with the Nigel Pack kind of gave them the stage to do that. So I'm eager to see if they can build off of that, get more comfortable in that case in offense, and then you throw Nigel in there and then to see what things look like. Because Davion Bradford's clearly still not right. Nigel Pack's injured. You're still trying to get those transfers going. It seems like you're getting in the right direction. So I'm hoping that, it can help them. It can kind of help them get some momentum and then they can really get going. But they're going to have to get going, Eddie. They're going to have to get going because I told you last week on the pod that I thought K-State could lose one more non-con game. Well, they did that tonight. So
yep.
The rest of them. That means they have got to, in my opinion, if they want a shot, a realistic shot at an NCAA tournament berth, they've got to wipe the table. I mean, they got to clean the table here in non-con, and it's not unrealistic. You look at their schedule coming up. They've got Green Bay coming up, and they've got McNeese State and Morgan State. You know, three games they should win. You got Nebraska on the road, though, sprinkled in there. You got to go to Lincoln to get a win. You can't lose that game. And Nebraska's lost 5 games. They're 5-5. You really can't go to Lincoln and lose that game to Nebraska. And then later in the season, when the Big 12 SEC Challenge comes out, you got to find a way to go to Ole Miss and win. That's going to be tough. Ole Miss just beat a ranked Memphis team. But you got to find a way to do it because you dropped a game you should have won against a Marquette team that is a good team, but you've got to be able to stack some quality wins on that resume. I know it's early to be talking about the resume, but we know it comes down to strength of schedule and it comes down to those types of things. And K-State's got to begin to build that resume outside of Big 12 play. They got a nice win to throw on it with Wichita State, but they need more. They need more to put on it. So they need to win out, Eddie, and we'll kind of see what happens, but I still remain optimistic with the basketball team. This team clearly looks a lot better than last year's team. There's a lot more depth. They're better defensively. I think they're going to be able to play with good teams, Eddie. I mean, they've proven that. They haven't gotten blown out once this year. They've played four tough games, so I think they're going to be able to hold their own in Big 12 play, so that's encouraging. But the Big 12 looks loaded this year, so it won't be easy. Won't be easy either. That's kind of where I stand with that. And Eddie, I just wish that the fans, I'm a little disappointed. I'm going to be honest. I'm not going to get a soapbox, but this showing from the non-student sections of the arena were a little disappointing. Were a little disappointing for me. The basketball crowds have been very sparse this year. I get it. I understand why. But I was hoping that would change tonight. It was better, but it wasn't good enough. It wasn't good enough for that home court advantage in case they needs. And it could have been the difference, Eddie. Could have been the difference if you got a pack of Ramblers.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Just disappointed in the fans that are showing up, the not the students did a tremendous job, but the non-students, a lot of open seats, and I hope the fans can show up. And look, I get it, if K-State's losing and they're giving you a reason not to show up, but this was coming off of a win against Wichita State, and so I thought this fans might be, might have a little, little energy and having their step to go see him coming off of a big win like that. You're 5-2, you just do Wichita State. I thought there might be a little more there. Fortunately, the students made it a great environment. The students were loud, they were raucous, and that was great. And I think they picked up the slack. But I just hope when we get to Big 12 play, Eddie, that we have a patch for Amelich, because I don't like seeing empty. I don't like seeing empty seats in there. I didn't like it in the football stadium either. Seeing empty seats.
No.
I'm not. I don't like it. I don't like it, Eddie. I get it. There's a reason behind it, but I just would like to see some more fans show up. I get it. Late on a Wednesday night, but yeah, we can get some more seats and. We can get some more butts in seats, Eddie. We can get some more butts in seats, so.
yeah, we do. I guess we got to start a new campaign earlier. I got a lot to touch on there. I want to build on that here in a second. But yeah, just to kind of start there, we kind of did promoted the refill the bill for football season. we saw that early on, but as the season went on, I saw a lot of empty seats at the football games earlier this year. So, I mean, that was disappointing from our front. And I actually saw your tweet 20 minutes ago. I haven't been on Twitter that much today after recording this podcast. I've been recording this after 10 Central Time. My time, anyways. But, so I saw that tweet there. And the students, and oh, by the way, this was Lavender Night, by the way. The Lavender jerseys, Lavender tops for the K-State men, and the purple shorts as well, which the players wanted to wear these tonight. So I thought that was very, very good for the guys as well. And oh, by the way, I don't want to sidetrack anything. By the way, the women played this afternoon as well, made a little history. So kind of eases the pain a little bit from the men's loss to Marquette. K-State just absolutely, the women's blasted Omaha, tying the 3-point record against the Omaha and coming with their first win on the road, 87-56. K-State women 8-2 now on the non-con. Omaha drops to 3-5. And by my count, at least when I'm looking at kstatesports.com right now, four players, double digit scoring, and they are hot from downtown. Again, more on that, of course, on the daily, and then maybe get a little comments here in a little bit. But sticking with the men because it's fresh right now. Yeah, it is disappointing. Back in where we're going to school, Bramlage was the toughest place in town in the Big 12. So now you go in, obviously, the whole, you know, COVID-19 thing and whatnot, whatever. You know, that has a little something to do with it. But now, I mean, yeah, we're still in it, but you're seeing fans slowly but surely going back to the football venue, basketball venues and whatnot, and is showing up for their teams. And at least here, that was not the case. And you hit on that perfectly with the Wichita State win over the last weekend as well. So, yeah, I was a little disappointed in that, definitely. When you're coming off a big win like that in your first time in your in-state rival, one of them anyways, with Wichita State, big win on the road, in their house, you thought you'd see a little bit more people show up. And it's not snowing yet, not here anyways, not yet anyways. But yes, the cool temps have come, but it's been ebbs and flows with the weather, but what snow's not a factor yet, so there's no excuse there on that front. So kind of wondering what's going on there with that. And of course, I came across a tweet that involved Tim Fitzgerald, for those who don't know. But Fitz tweeted something, I think he tweeted something about the Shamrock Zone, something like that.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And you responded. I saw that.
I
saw that. But yeah, I also wanted to touch on Marquette, you know, swinging the ball around. That last possession by Marquette there, when they swung around, found a wide open Jones, who basically knocked down the game winner with a wide open three. Yeah, K-State was way too slow on the defensive end. Very disappointing.
That was painful
right there. And I knew that was going in. He had an open look. Boom, of course, makes it. And then that last possession, we were talking about it off air before I press record. Masood, he had a good game, but that was not a pretty last shot right there. I want to put it definitely in Marquise Noel's hands there, who,
yep,
of course, Masood, Noel and Smith, your three transfers, all in double digits tonight. Mark Smith scoring his most points since playing for K-State, to this point anyways, with 17 points, 8 rebounds. Noel almost had a triple-double. 11 points, 11 assists, 8 rebounds. Almost a triple-double. Ish Mashood, 16 points. Going down this line here, an assist and 6 rebounds for Ish. Unfortunately, did not get a good look after because he had a hand in his face. It was blocked. But yeah, I would have either put it in Noel's hands or Mark Smith's hands there. Get the ball outside and take a chance that out from either a deep two or even a 3 at that. We were talking about that a little bit there. So yeah. Very disappointed about the shot selection there in that last play there. But yeah, I mean, too many open looks, too many mistakes, and a chance to build on that resume, what you talked about, Alex, there a few moments ago, building that resume a little bit there, and a missed opportunity, especially at home, where your student section at least shows up while everybody else is, I don't know what they're doing, but student section shows up, but you come up on the short end of the stick in a 1-point effort. Loss.
Yep. And look, you know, I want to give Marquette some credit. I mean, this is Marquette is an 8-2 basketball team. They've beaten Illinois. They've beaten Ole Miss. They've beaten West Virginia. And now they've beaten K-State. And they're about to play UCLA this weekend. So I know they're picked near the bottom of the Big East, but this is a good basketball team. And I don't think they've got a freshman that's averaging 16 points a game. And I don't think they're going to be finishing near the bottom of the Big East. I think that that's the best basketball team that K-State's played. Not the best basketball team they've played this year. That's incorrect. No, that was not. I know that Illinois did lose to Marquette. I still think Illinois is probably the best team that they've played to date. That Arkansas team is pretty good, too. But I do think this Marquette team was better than Wichita State. I do think that this was a better basketball team than Wichita State. With all due respect to Wichita State, and I think Wichita State is a good team too.
Oh yeah, definitely.
I think Wichita State's got a really good club, and I think that's going to be a really good win for K-State. And definitely would love to get into that game too a little bit later here at the show. But you know, this is a good Marquette team, and you could tell, you know, the way they're dialing up defense, they were moving the basketball, Eddie, was just masterful. The way they swung it, the ball wasn't tight. You know that ball wasn't even hitting the floor. Just pass. I mean, just keeping that K-State defense on their toes. The pace that Marquette plays with, the press that they use to force the turnovers. They really have some nice, some really nice schemes that make it difficult on opponents. And there's a reason that they've won the games. And I think you can tell watching. Watch that game. You know, with that said, you know, I think the K-State, you mentioned the end of the game. Obviously not the shot you want to get. We were talking prior to the show. I kind of wish Noel just would have pulled up for 3. I felt like he had enough room, and he has proven these last couple games that he can create his own shot. You know, he's done it multiple times the last 2 games where he has created his own shot. He can hit an NBA 3 or an NBA range 3-pointer. So distance isn't an issue with him. So I felt like he had enough cushion, and I didn't have enough confidence in the K-State offense to actually put something together with 10 seconds left, or 8 seconds left, I think it was, actually. So I think I would have just liked to see if he could have just found something, gotten a look, especially because K-State had struggled near the rim, Eddie. How many bodies did they blow in this game? I mean, they blew a lot of open layups.
That's the key. Yep, that's key.
I didn't have confidence he could have gone down and made an open layup. And the refs were calling fouls. They were calling fouls. So the likelihood of you driving the hoop and getting fouled the odds were not in your favor without happening. So I really felt like K-State's best chance there was to try to get the ball in Noel's hands, or as you mentioned, you know, Mark Smith's hands, and get them, try to get them just a decent look. You know, just get them a decent jump shot. And like I said, you know, I thought that Noel should have taken the 3 there, but you know, it is what it is, Eddie. Let's give Mike McGurl credit. He made a really nice corner 3 to even put K-State in that situation. They got down 4. Mike did a real nice job there in the corner. He was able to make a nice little move and kind of reestablish himself there in the corner, get himself set. and hit that thing. I had a feeling, I felt like that one was going to go down once he let it go, because he made a nice little move. He was able to get set there and kind of load up and nothing but nap. So that was a really nice veteran play by him there in the corner where he could have panicked and fumbled that ball out because he had a defender there right on his hip, but he didn't. He made a really nice play. And in case they got their opportunity, you know, they fouled the right guy, 6-7% free throw shooter on a 1-1. He misses it. You get the ball down 1, 10 seconds left. You know, you can't ask for anything more. Obviously, terrible last possession, not what you want, but K-State did, I thought, Eddie, K-State was good in that last 3-4 minutes. What killed them was the 15, 16 minute mark to about like the 5 minute mark. They had like a 10 minute stretch where they just played like dog bleep. Just gonna call it what it is. I think I even tweeted it. So they were not hitting shots. They were not defending. They were turning the ball over. I mean, they were doing everything wrong in between like that 15 minute mark and that 5 minute mark. They were really good in the first 5 minutes of the second half. They were really good in the last 5 minutes of the second half, but they were not good, in my opinion, in that middle section, and that's what lost them the game ultimately. So you know, obviously, was kind of frustrating to see that. But with that said, as I mentioned, there's positives, and you look through those positives, you take those positives. You've got a player, Marquise Noel, Eddie. You've got a guy who can create his own shot. How bad does K-State need a guy who can create his own shot? They need it bad. They need it bad. Mark Smith, he is showing his scoring ability. His last couple games, he has shown his scoring ability. And if Massoud can get the confidence going, and he can shoot the ball the way he did tonight, K-State's got something cooking. They got something cooking. And so I really think that as much as it sucks to have Nigel out, you know, that really opened the door for these guys, particularly Marquise Noel. And now once you get Nigel back, you just got more firepower. You've just got more firepower that you may not have had otherwise. Because Noel was struggling. He was struggling a little bit before that. He didn't look very good before that Wichita State game. He's had two really good games. And so, you know, I think the K-State found something there. And that's definitely encouraging. And we'll have to see. You know, K-State's doing all of this with Nigel Pack hurt, and Davion Bradford is a shell of himself right now. So, you're just hoping, hey, if you can get Davion Bradford and Nigel Pack back to where they, you know, I shouldn't say get Nigel back. Nigel is playing well this year. If you get Davion back to what he was doing last year, get Nigel back healthy, and then you can sprinkle that onto the transfers, you've got something. I mean, you've got something there. You've got something that can help push you towards some goals that K-State set for themselves. So I think there's something for them to work with there, but you've got to be able to get to that point. As I mentioned, it's just a tough loss. It's still a tough loss. It doesn't take away, you know, the positives don't take away from the fact that it feels like K-State let one slip. Because man, they left a lot of points on the court. When you turn the ball over, K-State had, they had, Eddie, 11 turnovers, and they allowed 33 rebounds to Marquette. I don't know. I just felt like K-State's a 39%. You know, with some of those missed layups, so it was just like, nah, they didn't leave a lot out there, Eddie, but they left enough to where they should have gotten that win, in my opinion. They're just a little too sloppy in too many areas. They're going to have to tighten that up. I do think Nigel coming back will help. But next game, Eddie, next game. That's what Casey's got to do. You watch it, you learn from it, and you take the positives. Casey fought. They didn't give up. They could have folded. They got down 7, right, Eddie? They dug back, got it back to within 1. And that's encouraging. It's encouraging to see your team fighting and digging and grinding. And they did the same thing against Wichita State. You know, we get into the Wichita State game here, look, for a minute. K-State got blitzed at the beginning of the first half of that game and blitzed at the beginning of the second half in that game. What did they do? They responded. They came back in a hostile environment. And they won a game I legitimately did not think they were going to win. The way that those games, that game started at Beach Hat. So they've definitely showed that they've got some grit. They've got some grit. I think that's encouraging. So, but if you're K-State, you just got to focus on Green Bay. You got to come out and you got to find a way to put a good game together. Be Green Bay, and then go to Lincoln and get a win. You know, because you got to go to Lincoln. You got to get a win. If you can get a win at Lincoln, I think you can feel pretty good about yourself, because then you end your non-con with McNeese State, Morgan State before you go into Big 12 play. So I think K-State's got the ability to rattle off here 4 wins and go into Big 12 play with a 9-3 record, you know, feeling pretty good about themselves with all things considered. So, you know, no reason for K-State fans to, as frustrating as that game was, no reason to hang your heads. You know, let's see what happens. If they lose to Nebraska, we'll change the tune of our combo a little bit. There's no doubt about that. But you know what? As tough as it is, just got to keep your head held high. And hey, I said it last week, Eddie. I said K-State needs to find a way to split. They need to split these next two. And they did. And they did it without their best player. They split without their best player. And they beat the team that I would have preferred them to beat. They beat Wichita State. That was a game that I wanted to win if they were going to win one of these two. And they did it and come back for them without their best player in a hostile environment. So. You know, definitely want to give them credit. By the way, what an environment. What an environment on Sunday down there. The place was sold out. There was almost 15,000 fans packed down there in Wichita. You could see it split between the yellow and the purple down there. So that's about it. That is why Wichita State, K-State is back on the schedule right there. What a college environment. Love it. Love that. Didn't love the night on Sunday.
You're listening to the Purple Project Podcast.
K-State losing at home to Marquette. Literally, just a half hour ago, recording episode 74 of the Purple Project Podcast weekly. Eddie Greer, Alex Salem, 64 to 63. There, K-State having the ball there. That last possession there, could not get the best of looks there. And Marquette pulls it out, walks out of Bramlage with the win there. Yeah, Wichita State. Yeah, we have. This is why we need 2 episodes during the week. But anyways, just kind of finished the basketball talk. Yep. You said the same things that I said when I just posted that daily with the win over the Shockers. Great atmosphere indeed. I said the same thing. I mean, this is one I wanted to get, Wichita State, and not Marquette. But hey, there's the opportunity to get Marquette tonight, and missed opportunities can come back to bite you. Not getting those points in that stretch there cost K-State too many turnovers. But yeah, Wichita State, yeah, what can you ask for from that game? K-State starts off slow. They battle their way back. K-State really tighten up the screws on defense against Wichita State there, and to get themselves back in the game. Luke Kasupke made a couple big shots there. Of course, Marquise Noel took over late in that game there, and then of course Mark Smith slam jam there. I love that finish at the end.
Yep.
So big win there, and they come back home and lose a backbreaker to Marquette. So yeah, Alex, yeah, they gotta get Nebraska once they take care of business with Green Bay, which is back at Bramlage this Sunday at 4. So there's that, and then of course you got to turn around. That's a few days. You got a few days in between Green Bay and Nebraska to get ready for that matchup there. And you mentioned the conference opener, New Year's night. There's gonna be a lot of stuff going on. Yep. New Year's night. Interesting enough, they're going to Norman to take on OU, Oklahoma Sooners. And oh, by the way, you mentioned early on this episode, Alex, the Big 12 being packed is always being loaded year in, year out. The Big 12, when it comes to basketball, one of the better conferences in the country. top to bottom, my goodness. Baylor, Iowa State, unbeaten right now. Of course, Baylor, you're defending national champs. Iowa State,
yeah,
who would have saw that?
How about Iowa State?
Who would have saw that? They were at the bottom of the barrel last year. Now, you should, at least this is non-con right now, but they look good. 8-0, those teams. West Virginia knocking off UConn earlier before the K-State game. What a win for West Virginia. West Virginia 8-1. KU, you know what you're going to get out of them. 7-1. Texas Tech 7-1. TCU 7-1. Texas 6-1. Oklahoma 7-2. And then you have Oklahoma State 6-3. And then you have our guys at 5-3. Yeah, so
gonna
I think.
Fun,
yeah.
It's going to be hard. Bruce has got his work cut out for him this year.
Yeah, and I think they got the squad to do it. I think if they can hang in there, they hung in there with Arkansas, battled their way back from down with some 18 points. Illinois, they fought back in that game and were leading Illinois before Illinois went on that little run there, that key in that victory there. We just saw K-State knock off Wichita State, a huge win there. We'll see where that stands at the end of the year. Obviously, we projected this team to be a bubble team in the NCAA tournament. We'll see if that comes arise or not. We'll check in back with us at the end of the year for that.
Hey, just quickly, just as a reminder to people, like, this K-State team, I truly believe it. I believe that they will get better as the season goes on. They have gotten better as the season's gone on, and they still don't have Davion Bradford. Remember how dominant Davion Bradford was at the end of last year?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Just dominated. That guy's not there right now.
No, he's not. He's not.
He's recovering from pneumonia right now. He's lacking confidence right now. And he's just a shell of himself. You get that back and you get these transfers more comfortable. And then you throw in Nigel, who has been Mr. Consistent. He scores like 15 to 18 every single night.
Yep. Get that production. Yep.
That can play. And, you know, the Big 12 is loaded, but I do think that they're going to get better. And I understand if fans are frustrated. I did see frustrated fans on Twitter, but like I said this about football, Eddie. I'll tell you it again. Let's just wait and see. If they lose to Nebraska, I'll push the panic button more. I'll push the panic button more to go to Lincoln. But, you know, let's see what they do here to round out non-con before we kind of come with a complete picture let's see what they look like. You know, once Nigel gets back and the guys continue to jump.
Yeah, that's the key. That's the key right there. You're going to get Nigel Pack. You're going to get consistency from him. You're going to get that range of 15 to 18 points a game. They did this the last two games without their best player. So once Nigel recovers and passes concussion protocol and gets 100%, which is very important right now, then this team, like the broadcast said, they have a little more depth. If you can get Davion Bradford in line, Selton Miguel, Nigel Pack, obviously.
Selton Miguel, Eddie, that's another one.
Yeah, Selton Miguel, came off the bench and only had 2 points. That's not going to cut it.
He is not playing at the level that he's capable of.
No, definitely not. Definitely not. He or Bradford are not playing up to what they're capable of right now. So if you get the transfers right now are improving right now, they're just going to get better as the year progresses. And you can get the rest of the guys from last year. You take Pack out of that occasion, move the Pack over to where the transfers are at, transfer guys are at. Now, you got to get Bradford. You got to get Miguel. Obviously, there was an 8-man rotation. Let's not forget about Mike McGurl, who comes up with big shots every night. So you have him as well. He's been off to a slow start, but he's gaining on it the last couple of games, including making a couple of shots late in that Wichita State win as well. So he knows how to come up big in the fourth quarter.
And he's a savvy veteran. He can work through some droughts.
He can, yep. He's done it before. He's been there and done that as well. So, yeah, I think this team, if they can get everybody on the same page, that's the key. Get everybody on the same page. I think they can hang in with anybody in this conference. Obviously, Baylor's on another level, and man, we didn't expect Iowa State to be I'm just going to be in wait and see when we get into conference play, because we know the teams beat up on each other. You don't know what you're going to get. You're going to get an upset every night, every year almost. Yeah. So we'll see what happens there. Again, Eddie Greer, Alex Aiden, we're literally recording this right after K-State loses to Marquette tonight, 64-63 in Ramledge. K-State having after a missed free throw by Marquette, opened the door for K-State to walk right in, and they couldn't cash it in. So the next up game will be Green Bay on Sunday. Meanwhile, to flip the coin, the women's basketball real quickly, who really hung in, speaking of road hanging in, this women's basketball team by Jeff Mitty is really tough. Played South Carolina tough, even though they lost the game on the road. Played NC State tough. Oh, by the way, both those teams are ranked in the top five. Oh, obviously, South Carolina, the number one team in the country. You play with them pretty well. NC State, you hung right in there, even better with those girls as well. And I mentioned earlier, K-State played early this afternoon with a three-point barrage. So an 87-56 win. And I mentioned earlier, double girls and double figures. Well, four of them were in double digits. Ioka Lee, Jalen Glenn, who's been playing very well so far this year, along with Serena Sundale. The Glenn twins started this game. Riley Glenn had 9 points. Emily Ebert, the other guard starter, had four. You had Laura Mackey come to life with 10 points off the bench. Let's see, Jada Moore, 6 points. Simone Goodrich, she's been in and out of the starting lineup with 2 points. Rebecca Dollinger had 9. Taylor Lauterbach had 0 there as well. So she was the only girl that did not score in this one. And K-State shot 50% from downtown. Oh, man. 16.
Not counting. Too shabby.
16 out of 32 from downtown. Boy, if you get that kind of shooting from the squad, look out. 8-2 right now. I think this team, this women's team I've mentioned every week on this podcast, not the weekly edition, but the dailies, they continue. They're just going to get better as well, kind of like the men as well. So they got a talented freshman in Serena Sundale. You got the Glenn twins, and you know where you get from Ioka Lee. We talked about this on his podcast, Alex, and I'm probably just going to say it again for you. You got to have the talent around Ioka Lee, not to focus on her. You got to have other girls that can shoot. And I think Jeff Minnies hit the jackpot button when it comes to it.
You know, Eddie, it is literally the new spawn Ioka Lee effect. You get the once in a decade player, right? And you've got to take advantage of it, because you can't get those types of players every year. In K-State. You can't do it. When you get it, you've got to take advantage of it. What have I been harping on? My frustration about K-State not taking advantage of Deuce Vaughn. K-State not taking advantage of Ioka Lee. What two wasted seasons last year. So for K-State women's team to be able to come out and, have an 8-2 start, your two losses are just two top five teams on the road, or one of them was a tournament, I think one's on the road, South Carolina was on the road. A pair of 21-point losses, that doesn't look great, but you look at the box score, you see K-State did compete in those games. And look, those are teams that are beat teams by 50, Like, honestly, 21 points is kind of hanging in with those teams.
So, by the way, I'll jump in here real quick.
Yeah, jump in.
South Carolina, that was the lowest for the women. That was K-State held South Carolina to their lowest total points so far to this point, 65.
That's good. 60, and that's the thing. Hold South Carolina 65. That's impressive. K-State, Eddie going there, they're down 3 at the end of the first quarter, right? They're down 13 going into the half. They only scored 5 points in the second quarter. That wasn't very good, but you were able to stick with them for two or four quarters. And then so, you know, I think that, you know, you look at the women's team, Eddie, you're right. They seem to be gritty. Have fought hard. They've got some really dominant wins. And look, Eddie, they've got a game against Oregon coming up, or we'll be able to gauge them. It'll be a good test for them. An Oregon team that's not ranked, but they do have a winning record. They'll be coming to Bramlage December 18th. So that's going to be a good opportunity. Yeah. That's going to be a good opportunity to learn about. You know, how do they do against them? It's a good team. They're not ranked. It'll probably be comparable to K-State playing Marquette tonight. And then you just kind of sprinkle in there their game against South Dakota State. The Crawlers should take care of them. But we'll see. That game is on the road. That's at South Dakota State. So, you know, Casey's going to go on the road. We'll see if they can get that win. Come home, play a good Oregon team. We'll see how they do there, and then they'll take on a UIC team who they should beat at home to end it out before they go into Big 12 play. But you look at the Big 12 conference, and things are there's some good teams. There's no doubt there's some good teams in the Big 12 this year. Baylor. They're supposed to be really good. Texas is supposed to be really good. There's definitely teams that are supposed to be good. But I think there's an opportunity for K-State to be able to, you know, if they can continue to, you know, string off some non-con wins here, I think that there's possibility for them. You know, there's some opportunity for them, especially when you look, Oklahoma State's got a losing record, TCU's got a losing record. You're going to be playing each of those teams twice. There are four games on your schedule. I think K-State can compete with Tech and West Virginia as well. I think that there's some room. I think there's some room for them to be able to make some noise in the Big 12. And you know, we'll just have to see it. Once again, it's kind of like the men's team. You know, let's kind of see how things play out. You know, let's kind of see how they end this non-con. Can they get that big win against a team like Oregon? They've been dominant in certain games, but can they get that big win? And so we'll see. You know, we'll see if they can get that. And can they go on the road against South Dakota State and snag a win? We'll see. We'll see how they handle some road adversity. So we'll learn more about them. Then they'll get thrown right into Big 12 play anyway, because I believe that they start the season against Baylor. Why waste your time, Eddie? Why waste your time when you can play them off right off the bat? You know? So
yeah.
There you go. They'll play on January 2nd. Yep, this first game of the year is Baylor and Bramlage. So they're gonna waste no time. You know, they're just gonna go.
Right to the gauntlet. Right to the gauntlet. Yeah, let's go.
Yeah, they're like, let's just go, you know. Baylor's here. Let's just play off the bat. Let's just do it. Let's go for it. I mean, K-State will have played by January 2nd, Eddie, three top five teams. I mean, Baylor's ranked fifth in the country now. So that NC State team that they beat is ranked number two. So think about this. They played the number one and number two teams in the country. Number one, number two. Those are their two losses. So one and two. And they're going to play number five to open up Big 12 play. So, wow. Wild, Eddie. Wild.
Yeah, definitely. So,
I did not know NC State was ranked number two now. Wow.
Yeah.
They literally played the top two teams, Eddie. They played number one and number two.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Hey, if nothing's going to prepare you more for Big 12 play than that.
No, absolutely not. So, South Dakota State on tap for the ladies. That's going to be a Saturday game. They got to go to Brookings, South Dakota to play the Jackrabbits of South Dakota State. That's a 2 p.m. tip there, just after 2 p.m. there. Let's see if K-State can get another one, and then a big game. They have a good time in between their back-to-back Saturdays. So they won't be playing again until the following Saturday against Oregon. So they got plenty of time to prepare for that. So we'll see if that makes a difference or not. Remember, K-State women now 8-2. K-State men, 5-3 now. Overall, this is the Purple Project Podcast, weekly edition, episode 74, Eddie Greer here in Manhattan, Kansas. Alex Aiden out there in San Diego, California. A lot of basketball in the books on this episode. And now, flipping the script to back in this episode with football, K-State football. And oh boy, a lot's happened between last week episode until now. And obviously, let's start with the obvious, obviously, before we get into the biggest news. Prior to the bowl game, before it even was announced, K-State's obviously going to familiar territory, going back to Houston for the Texas Bowl, and they get SEC opponent LSU. Yes, yes, folks, you heard me. LSU, SEC opponent who finished 6-6 overall this year. Obviously, you lose your head coach, Ogeron, and now you just hired a new one in Brian Kelly. Obviously, he'll start next year. But I don't know. I haven't really dug much yet into LSU yet. I mean, I've seen lots of them in the SEC play down south while living down south and still watch SEC, a lot of SEC play. LSU 3-5 in the conference, dead last in the Western Division. You usually see LSU compete year in, year out, but this year was not it for them, obviously. 6-6. And on paper, folks, K-State has the better record. But that didn't mean anything. It's Texas. Remember that? But LSU, yeah. Obviously, yeah. Household name in the SEC. Woo! People are already telling me that we're going to get smoked about them. But we'll see. We'll see about that. I mean,
I don't think they will, Eddie.
I don't think they will.
Have you seen how many LSU players are either transferring
or
playing in this game?
Yeah. There are several. There are quite a bit of players already hitting the training portal, like K-State as well. So yeah. this kind of even out. So we'll see as it gets closer. I mean, these teams don't even play. They're not even going to be playing this bowl game until January 4th in primetime on ESPN. I think that's a couple days before the national championship game. Meanwhile, big news of coaches. And we kind of talked about this at the beginning of the year, Alex. It finally came to fruition. Finally, Courtney Messingham was showing the door even before the announcement was arrived. And also,
we haven't talked since that happened, have we, Eddie?
Yeah, we have not talked. This is what I want to get to.
So much is going on.
Yeah,
this
is what I want to get to. Yes, Courtney Messingham, showing the boot, get the door. Jason Ray, we talked about this going all the way back to the beginning of the year. We did an episode about this. Jason Ray, moving positions, apparently did not work. He was also shown the door, unfortunately, as well. But the big one there, Messingham, getting the boot from Chris Klieman, and also the new president, the K-State, which I did a daily on, Richard Litton, was also named the 15th president for K-State. So there's another one there. I did a daily on that as well. But also, to replace Messingham, and according to one of my friends, Colin Klein, Heisman finalist, will be interning this game against LSU. How big is that? But yes, Messingham, Alex. Yeah, we have a lot. A lot's happened. But yes, Courtney Messingham.
I forgot that happened on Sunday. No, I didn't forget that happened. I forgot that was just Sunday. Weeks ago.
Courtney Messingham showing the door, and Chris Klieman hopped on a Zoom, and I did not listen to the whole thing, but I did catch what he said. Chris Klieman in a Zoom interview, and I don't know who did it, but he said that. He said that when I came here to K-State, I want to compete for Big 12 championships. He said it's not about Chris Klieman, it's not about Courtney Messingham, it's about getting back K-State back into contending for Big 12 championships. And yes, I don't have the standings up here. They finished fifth in the conference, but Yeah, Alex, I want to get your thoughts on that news. Courtney Missingham finally out as OC at K-State.
Yeah, well, obviously, Eddie, I do remember it now. I was actually leaving the doctor's office on Friday afternoon when I got the notification on my phone that that he was out, and I was happy. I was happy. Look, you were right, Eddie. Boil back, or I should say boil back, revert back to what we said on the pod when the announcement was made that they were changing position coaches. Where Jason Ray, they were swapping, where Jason Ray was taking over the fullbacks and tight ends, and then Corey Messingham was taking over the receivers. I said, I think those two guys are on thin ice going into this year. I said, you don't make that switch unless you're not content with something and you're trying to change something up. And clearly they were trying.
I remember that now.
Yeah, yep. They clearly were trying to change something up, and it didn't work.
Didn't work.
On the last podcast, I said, why do they even have a tight ends and fullbacks coach if they don't use the tight ends and fullbacks? Makes no sense. And we're not going to use them. I won't go down that rabbit hole again. But look, I know it sucked for Coach Klieman. I know it sucked to be able to, or to have to let go a childhood friend. I can't imagine how difficult that is. I really can't. And I think Fitz, posted that, it was Kellis who posted that a source inside the veneer complex just described it in one word for Coach Klieman and was awful. It was just awful for him. And I'm sure it was, and I legitimately sympathize for Coach Klieman there. With that said, though, this is a business, and Coach Kleiman's job was on the line with this decision. I truly believe that. I told you that the last podcast. I said if you want to keep Courtney Messingham, that's fine. That's fine, Coach Klieman. But if you do, it could be you going next year.
Yep.
Mm-hmm, it could be you, because fans want Messingham out, rightfully so. You bring him back, that's gonna hurt fan excitement, fan engagement. You may see even more ticket sales plummet more than what you saw at the end of this last year. You'd be lacking excitement around the football program. You wouldn't know who the heck's going to be starting quarterback. And
we still don't.
You would have Courtney Messingham calling the plays. By the way, I'll also just do with the quarterback thing. I don't know if anybody saw Adrian Martinez, quarterback in Nebraska. He transferred out. He visited K-State over the weekend. We'll see if he ends up transferring to K-State. And if he does, they'll be in the quarterback battle. Just a nugget in case anyone didn't hear. I know he visited Cal. I think he's deciding between those two schools. But anyway, getting back to my point, it could have been Coach Klieman's head kind of on the line. If he brought it back, it really felt that way. He made the move that had to be made. Because K-State, Eddie, they've got to find a way to maximize that offensive talent. They're not doing it.
They're not doing it.
They have not been doing it. And look, if you cannot maximize your talent, that's not gonna work. The way K-State's recruiting right now, that's not gonna work. And I know people get sick hearing me talk about recruiting, but when you're not recruiting at the level that you want to, you have got to be able to maximize the talent on your roster. And it's not doing that. They're just not doing that offensively. And I honestly kind of agree with Skip, with Fitz. I don't know why I said Skip. I never agree with Skip. I agree with Vince on the point of I didn't have a problem with the scheme. I never had a problem with their offensive scheme. I had a problem with their execution of the scheme. That was what I had a problem with. So I don't care what they do, Eddie, as long as it's successful. I don't care. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care if it's air raid. I don't care if it's do what the Patriots did on Monday night and only throwing it three times. I don't care as long as you're scoring. I really don't care. So, but it wasn't effective and it wasn't working. And And, you know, they need a change. So, for Coach Kleiman, you know, he needs to find the right guy. You know, we'll see. This could be an addition, you know, an audition of sorts for Coach Kleiman to see if, you know, maybe he could snag the role. I've heard rumors about Matt Wells. I know some people have rumored that Matt Wells could be a candidate to possibly be the offensive coordinator for K-State. I definitely would be open to that. He's a good offensive mind, a former head coach there at Texas Tech. And you know, we'll kind of see what happens. Me personally, Eddie, I'd like to see K-State kind of change it up, evolve their offense a little bit. I don't know how successful their scheme can be in Big 12 play. But with that said, we've kind of seen the Big 12 evolve to a little more of a defensive-first conference over the last couple of years. So maybe, you know, K-State can. So, you know, we'll just kind of see what happens there. But the right move was made. The move that needed to be made was made. I have nothing against Courtney Messingham as a human. You know, I have nothing against Coach Ray either as a human. They're good people. But changes had to be made. It was evident, and it was really evident after that Texas game, in a game that K-State had no business losing, and it was lost because of the coaching. I mean, that game was lost because of
plain
the
simple,
offensive
plain
coaching.
Simple. Yeah.
I'm sorry, it was. I tweeted after that game, that was not on the players, that's on the coaching. And Chris Kleiman, I didn't disagree with that. You know, he really didn't disagree with that. So,
well, apparently he changed his mind.
Yeah, and look, good for Coach Kleiman. I know that was tough for him. But I give him credit for doing what had to be done. And I give him credit for showing that he's serious about winning. If you're serious about winning, you got to make that move. And he made the move. So I like it. And now we'll see. You know, the next thing I said, Eddie, is I said they need to get rid of them. I said they need to go get a quarterback to build that quarterback room up. Well, he did that. Now let's see if they can go get a QB in the portal to beef up their quarterback room, whether it's Adrian Martinez, whether it's somebody else, who knows. And if he can do that, then that'd be another sign that K-State's willing to right or wrong, that they may not have developed a quarterback to the level they need to be right now. Or at the very least, Eddie, they build that quarterback room up to provide competition, and maybe that brings out the best in Will Howard, and it allows him to evolve and to grow and to get better. But either way, I think that is kind of the next priority now for K-State, is to try to get another body, an experienced body, in that quarterback.
You're listening to the Purple Project Podcast.
K-State men's basketball took them off a 64-63 loss in Ramblin' tonight against Marquette. And we're hosting the Purple Project Podcast here. And
yeah, we'll see. I mean, step one, get rid of Messingham. Chris Kleiman, even though it was definitely tough on him, for sure, he had to make the right move. And this was the right move going forward. I mean, yeah, absolutely. I mean, why have a coach if you're not going to utilize the fullbacks and tight ends? I don't understand, especially going in where you talked about at the beginning of the year, when Chris Kleiman came or first arrived at K-State, I think it was him that said something about he wanted to get more tight ends. He wanted to get the tight ends involved. That's what he said. I remember
exactly what he said.
And you have a good group of tight ends, Nick Lenners, Sammy Wheeler, and Danny Imanabebe. Imanabebe, I have said this all year long, gotta get him more involved. And that has not happened. And now that Courtney Messingham is out, and Jason Ray apparently didn't do well enough, unfortunately, he's out as well. I mean, yeah, big opportunity for Colin Kleiman. We'll see. We'll see what happens. And definitely LSU is going to be a good gauge. Very good defense. Yes, LSU is taking some hits. But, and oh, by the way, the star line for this game, at least for right now, as recording this, still at 11:11 Central Time.
Line's even.
I said, you know, with both teams losing people, guys in the trade portal. So it kind of backs up my point.
7-5, 6-6, K-State 7-5, LSU 6-6, and the line is even. So very interesting on that. So, but yeah,
I think a lot of it comes down to Skylar too, Eddie. We don't know what's going on with Skylar. Skylar gonna play? It's gonna be Will Howard. I mean, you talk about a change. That'll change the line quite a bit, depending on who's behind center.
Depending on who's on side center, yeah, the quarterback. Situation. Yeah, you mentioned Martinez visiting K-State. To be continued, definitely, with this quarterback situation there, guys. Right after Skyler, hopefully he's out there for his last game. That'll be big
for his K-State team.
You don't want him to go out the way he did.
No, he came back for this very reason.
To go out on a high, go out on a positive. Would be it. This would definitely be it. Against a tremendous opponent like an LSU, this will definitely be it. But we'll have to see his status for this bowl game against LSU, the Texas Bowl, January 4th. So we have to wait a few weeks for that.
That'll probably help Skylar. Then he gets another week and a half to rest than if it would have been in one of those other bowls.
Yeah, his counterpart, we do know, starting for LSU, that's Max Johnson. He's thrown for almost 300,000 yards, 27 touchdowns. We know what Deuce can do, over 1,200 yards, 15 touchdowns. But the go-to receiver for LSU, obviously, is Kayshon Boutte. Let's see, 38 catches, over 500 yards, but he's seen the end zone 9 times. That's Max's go-to right there in games where I have seen LSU throw the football. That's his guy right there. So gonna be interesting for the secondary to key on him, take him away. There's gonna be a couple of star lines from this game. Obviously, we're gonna have more breakdown as we move closer. I don't want to get into too much of it right now, but that's just some of the outskirts right now. But yeah, K-State, I mean, again, I kind of want to go back in this podcast with y'all with the offensive talent. Yeah, I mean, obviously, you mentioned Deuce. You want to surround him with talent. They got it. He's just not used right. It's not used right. Malik Knowles.
No, exactly. You're right. The talent's on the roster.
Malik Knowles, really not really used much.
He's not used properly. No.
Tyrone Howe hitting the transfer portal wasn't used very right.
He wasn't used correctly. Oh, gosh.
There
we go. You're
going to
get me all riled up, Eddie.
Imani Bebe, all right. Fired up about that. I mean,
yeah,
size.
Yeah, we already know how you and I feel about that
Sammy Wheeler, who makes big plays, it seems like, every other game. You're not really using him well enough. Nick Leonard, you know he's a good blocker and all that, can catch a pass here and there. I can do a whole nother podcast just on the offensive talent, but I ain't gonna get in far into that because it's 11:15 Central Time. It's late past my bedtime, but I'm just getting fired up just thinking about that. But yeah, it's just the offensive talent mishandled. Definitely gonna be a test. Obviously for Colin Klein, this is tune in for K-State fans, K-State Nation. Colin Klein obviously was re-involved. You talked about this last week. He evolved when he played at K-State. He evolved. I mean, he was a terrible passer when he first got that start, when he first started with Bill Snyder, right? And he evolved. Next year, he improved a little bit in the passing game. We know he can do as a runner. He's a tough, hard-nosed runner. And then the senior year, he just busted out. So a double threat, which defenses do not want to see. You do not want to see a ranked quarterback. Or you don't want to see a good running quarterback throw really good as well. That's what Colin Klein did. And now, a few years later, you get the interim. And even though he's had some experience now, let's not sugarcoat this. Let's not misinform it. He was kind of the offensive coordinator when Bill Snyder was still at the helm. He was doing some play call, a little bit of play calling, if I am correct on that. So now he's going to get the full. He's going to get the full offense. So he's going to have, 3-4 weeks to prepare for LSU and to put in together an offensive game plan. That's going to be – I'm really going to be intrigued to see what
intrigued.
What he's going to do. against an LSU defense who has not performed up to standards this year. Obviously, got your main man back there, Deuce Vaughn, and the questions at quarterback. It's gonna be something.
You know, Eddie, I just want to say this: what a great opportunity! It sounds stupid. I'm just looping around to it now, but great opportunity to play LSU. You know, I mean, it reminds it kind of to me. Eddie feels like back in 2013. So it would've been my junior year. When Colin Klein team. You know, won the Big 12. It would have been the year after. K-State, I think they went 7-5 that year. And then they played Michigan. And I can't remember what the name of the bowl was. Whatever the bowl was, it was in Phoenix. K-State played Michigan, and they just rubbed them. Tyler Lockett went off for a huge game. Jake Waters played really well. And they just dominated a Michigan team that was just kind of depleted and kind of in flux a little bit. And they really catapulted them into the next year. In case they went 9-3. They went 9-3 that following year and were ranked as high. They were ranked the top 10 at one point that year. So, in fact, I think they got as high as number 7 in the country that year. So, you know, it kind of reminds me of that. And I'm not saying that K-State's going to be ranked 7th in the country next year. No. Not saying that at all. Trust me. But it kind of feels like a similar situation, Eddie, where you've got the big name brand. You've got LSU. You're playing them. There's no other football games on that night.
Nope.
That's it.
Nope.
It's K-State. It's LSU on ESPN. That's what people will watch football. That's what they're going to watch. People are going to tune in because of the name on the side of that yellow helmet going up against K-State. You know, they're going to be tuning in to hear the latest on Brian Kelly's new career.
Yep, yeah, exactly. Exactly.
You know, and you know what? It's going to attract eyeballs. There's going to be a lot of people watching the game. Probably a lot more than they would have gotten in another bowl game, to be 100% honest with you. And you've got an opportunity to win that game. You've got an opportunity to make a statement where people can see it. That can help recruiting. That can help.
That was my next point.
I mean, it really can help you in a lot of different areas. It really gives K-State an opportunity and a platform, and they need to take advantage of that. So this is going to be good for fan excitement because, 100%, we're fans not going to get up for K-State playing LSU. When is K-State ever going to play LSU again? I mean, it's not going to happen. It was the same thing with Michigan. When were they going to play Michigan again? They weren't. You know, that's why it was such an intriguing matchup. So, you know, it's a great opportunity to play a blue blood, a true blue blood in college football. Yes, they're down. They're down this year. But you know what? It's still a blue blood.
It's still a blue blood in
college football. It's still a team that's loaded with 5-star recruits. And I don't care if they're in flux, Eddie. I don't care. It's still LSU.
That's what I said.
They won a national championship 2 years ago. They're a damn good football team. I mean, that's a damn good football program. I think John Kurtz said it. He said, you know, when they were talking about head coach openings, he said he thinks LSU is the best job in the country. Hard to dispute that. It really is hard to dispute that. I mean, that's a really good football program. So it's a great opportunity for K-State to be able to play them. And let's see what they can do. You know, let's see what they can do. Let's see what Colin Klein can do. You know, as you mentioned, very intriguing opportunity for him to put a game plan together. He's got like a month. Coach Kleiman said he's going to be like a fly on the wall, kind of watching Colin Klein, watching the offensive coaches, seeing kind of how they develop this game plan, how they get the players ready, and just kind of observe. And so there's a lot on the line for Colin Klein. This could lead to a promotion, to getting the offensive coordinator position, or it could lead to him turning around and getting fired like Courtney Messingham and Jason Ray. I mean, there is a lot of wiggle room for Coach Klein in here. For Coach Klein here. So it's a big week for him. And I'll be honest, Eddie, I don't know what type of game plan he's going to put together. I know that Coach Klein said he doesn't want Colin Klein to reinvent the wheel. There's not enough time to do that. And so I'm assuming that it'll be a lot of the similar concepts that we've seen from K-State. But what wrinkles can he throw in there, you know? Maybe if Will Howard has to play, maybe we'll see a QB sneak on 3rd and 1. I mean, goodness gracious, if there's anybody who knows something about a QB sneak, it's Colin Klein. how many QB sneaks did we see him do in college, eh? I would bet over 100. I would bet that number is in the hundreds. He's done a lot. So, I'm intrigued to see that. But look, it's going to be a great opportunity. Great opportunity for K-State. Great opportunity to get fan excitement up. Great opportunity to help recruiting, which K-State desperately needs. And, let's also see what happens between, now and then for him as well. But definitely excited about this opportunity. Didn't like the way the season ended. No doubt about that, losing two in a row. But I think this was, I don't think you can ask for more. I really don't think you can ask for more going into the bowl season. You know, it would have been great to go to Florida and play Clemson, but K-State probably would have got blasted. So, you know,
yeah.
So, I mean, let's just be honest. They probably would have. So, you know what, let Iowa State go deal with that and, you know, go play LSU, and down in Texas, and that's still the Texas Bowl is still a really good bowl, and you're playing a really good team, and it's an SEC team. So it's going to be a good opportunity for the Cats. Hopefully, the fans can travel down there and support them.
Yeah, and LSU, before I finish up with K State here, let's see, I lost it here. Yeah, their biggest wins this year, obviously, Florida when they're ranked 20th in the middle of the year. Try to save Coach Ed Orgeron's job at that time, didn't, and then they lost three in a row after that game, and then, of course, Louisiana Monroe, they beat them 27-14, and then they upset Texas A&M 27-24, so LSU does have a little momentum, and then you get a coach like Brian Kelly leaving the Notre Dame position, the head coach position, becoming the LSU next head coach for Baton Rouge. So Brian Kelly getting the opportunity there to coach one of the more prestigious college programs in the nation. And then to finish, had it right here, and to finish up on K-State real quickly before I get last final thoughts here. This is going to be for K-State, folks. The third time in school history that the Wildcats will play in a Texas Bowl. K-State played in this inaugural game, Rutgers, back in 2006.
Oh, I remember that.
And then I do remember the Texas A&M beat, when they beat Texas A&M 33-28. That was a tremendous game. That was a great game. Great game there. Back a few years ago in 2016 there, that was the Brian Pringle game right there.
And Miles Garrett was playing for A&M.
Miles Garrett was playing on the other side, who's now playing for the Cleveland Browns, while Brian Pringle continuing to shine for Alex Aiden's Kansas City Chiefs.
That's right. He's the number two receiver.
Yep. This year for K-State marks the eighth time in 23 bowl appearances that the Wildcats will play in a bowl game in the state of Texas. Wow, I guess Texas loves K-State, at least when a bowl game's concerned, or neutral games, but by that matter, which is home to many K-State alumni. Again, what we talked about with the Arlington game with Stanford, we promoted that earlier this year, so a lot of K-State alumni down there. Again, even though LSU's in that same kind of region, not too far, Louisiana, east of Texas, they can also show up. But K-State Nation, we got to show up like we did earlier this year. It'll be the eighth time in school history that K-State will play in the month of January. And this is going to be the first time they will play in the month of January, going back a few years ago in 2015. As well, so a lot there, a lot of notes there. We'll definitely probably next week begin to kind of get into a little bit. So probably the offense and defense side of the ball, definitely for sure. I didn't want to get into it too much tonight, as well with the time that I got here in the Central Time Zone. So definitely excited for the opportunity. I echo Alex's words: excited for the opportunity. And this is huge. You get a win here against LSU, a team like LSU. Yeah, it can really bolster excitement up. Again, it all goes back to last week's podcast that we talked about what we're going to get excited about. You know, when are we going to get excited about football? When are we going to get excited about basketball, like success about these programs? Well, this is one of them. And Chris Klieman makes the right move. You have to let Courtney Messingham walk. You did that. Now, what's on the table? You go out, play tough, and you beat LSU. You find a way to do that, man, you possibly get fans back in the game, riled up for next year. And then the next step follows. You get a quarterback from a transfer portal. That's what's going to have to happen. So,
yeah.
Step one.
You nailed it, Eddie.
Yep. Step one, check. Now you're on a step two. Can you beat an LSU team? We're going to find out in a few weeks. That's for sure.
And you know, Eddie, I think that, look, you know, it's set up for K-State to be able to, you know, drum up a little bit of excitement, but they've got to be able to take advantage of the opportunity. You know, if you go out against LSU and you just lay an egg and it's just a dud, you lose to LSU, you know, 21-6 or a couple field goals and, you know, that's it. Like, that's not going to do it. I mean, you still got to be able to. It's a great opportunity for K-State to be able to go out and do these things. They need to take advantage of it now. Yeah, that's the key. You got to go out and you got to have a good performance against LSU. I'm not saying K-State has to go out and beat LSU. I'm not saying that. No, obviously I would like them to beat LSU. But you can't come out right there and just do, you know, you can't do what you did against Iowa State and let them break a touchdown play on the very first play. Yeah, none of that, okay?
No wildcat
on third one. With the box stuffed with 10 guys. None of that. Just play your game. If they can play their game, they're going to have a shot at the LSU game. Because, as I mentioned, Eddie, a lot of guys are playing for LSU. And granted, you mentioned it. There's guys that aren't playing for K-State either. But a lot of guys are playing for LSU. They got a lot of guys transferring out. They got a lot of guys that are just dipping and going straight on, getting ready for the NFL.
Yep.
They've got a coaching change going on. New coaching staff. I mean, things are in flux over there. So K-State's got an opportunity to beat a blue one. And, you know, they need to take advantage of it, you know? Because it won't mean anything if they go out there and lay it. So, like I said, that doesn't mean K-State needs to win, but they've got to play a good, exciting football game at the least against LSU. It doesn't matter about the recruiting. It doesn't matter about the fan excitement. It doesn't matter about anything like that. So, you know, they need to take advantage of it, and we'll see if they will.
The Tax Act. Oh, man, butcher that. The Tax Act. Texas.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, it's late. Tax Act. Texas Bowl, January 4th on ESPN. That's where K-State, you'll find your Cats taking on the LSU Tigers. It's going to be interesting, and we'll see between now and then how many more LSU guys transfer out, and also our guys as well, with our four, at least four I know of, that we talked about last week's episode of the podcast, hitting the transfer for as well, so that's going to factor in a lot. So interesting to see what happens between December 8th, the Recorders Podcast, until game time, January 4th of the new year, 2022. Folks, that's going to do it for another edition of the Purple Project Podcast Weekly, episode 74 in the books. K-State basketball, men's losing tonight, 64-63 against Marquette here at home, while the women's take care of business against Omaha, tying the school record in threes. Eddie Greer, Alex Aiden. I'm going to have Alex close out tonight. Alex, give me final words. Close out.
Yeah, final words, Eddie. You know, be on quarterback. Watch. I'll say that again to everybody. You know, we'll see what Adrian Martinez does. Whether you like him or not. Don't know if you do or not. We'll see. Also, want to give a shout out. Eddie said at the beginning of the podcast, want to give a shout out to the new K-State president, 15th president at Kansas State, President Litton. Decided to have him aboard. A lot of work for him to do. Tim Fitzgerald wrote a great column, which was essentially his letter to President Litton on K-State, talking about how K-State needs him. And they really do need him amidst a lot of stuff going on right now with decreases in enrollment and needing some juice in some areas. So go read that, check it out. Wish him or congratulate him on coming here to K-State. Cheer on the camp, get butts in seats, and go camp. And we'll talk to you next time.
Purple Project Podcast. Get it wherever podcasts are found on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Audio Boom, and more. We'll talk to you on the next edition of the Purple Project Podcast.